Evening. I'd like to call the meeting of the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board for October the 18th to order. Ladies and gentlemen, I see there's a group in the audience, and we have a very large agenda. However, I wanted to let you know that items 3, 4, 5, and 6, which are zoning map amendments, are probably, we believe there's a motion. There's going to be a motion to continue those, which we expect to pass, so they will not be addressed this evening. Will we please stand for the pledge
of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Schaefer, would you call the roll?
Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mrs. Lucas.
Here.
Mr. Dolman.
Here.
Mr. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Scully.
Here.
Mr. Davis.
Here.
Mr. Lenhertz. Not present. Mr. Freeman.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have quorum.
Excellent. Our first item of business will be the approval of the minutes from the September 19th Planning and Land Development Board meeting. Do any board members have any additions or deletions from the minutes as posted?
I have one. You're holding two seats again. You're the chair and the vice chair.
Am I?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh. I got promoted?
You got either promoted or demoted.
Where is that?
I'm trying to find it because right on page 3, it says Vice Chair Jones.
Oh, okay. So,
you know,
Mrs. Schaefer, would you see that that's corrected? Okay. So I need a motion to pass the minutes as corrected.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Item number two is a ordinance for Kings Point multifamily rezoning, 11.43 plus or minus acres from high-intensity commercial, COM3, to multifamily residential, MFR2, application number 3421. Mr. Tyner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an application for rezoning from high-intensity commercial to multifamily zoning. It's approximately almost 12 acres of property. It's near Kings Point, just north of State Road 100, east of I-95, and it's just north of the Kings Point subdivision, which is another high-intensity commercial subdivision. Staff did the analysis, received the application from the applicant, who also has a presentation tonight following our staff. But we believe through our analysis and looking at our comprehensive plan and our land development code that it's very consistent for the change, and staff supports the change to multifamily. It's actually decreasing the intensity of the project, but also a very good location, we believe, for potentially future multifamily. So with that said, Mr. Bill Hoover will have the staff presentation for the details.
Great. Mr. Hoover.
Good evening. I'm Bill Hoover from the City Planning Division. And the site's 11.33 plus or minus acres. It's on the east side of Old Kings Road, right at the curve, and you can see it inside the yellow boundary. I'm not sure what the peak thing is on there, but there we go. The Kings Point subdivision to the south, that area is about 37 acres, and it includes that little green area on the east side of the lake. So the lake itself is about 16 acres. The applicant, as we can see on this next one, they own the property to the north and to the west. So altogether there, they've got, looks like 36, maybe about 50 acres there. The The owner wants to rezone this from COM3, also known as high-intensity commercial, to multifamily residential 2 with a density of 12 units per acre. The property is designated mixed use on the future land use map. That allows a variety of zoning districts, including things such like all three of our commercial districts, neighborhood commercial, general commercial, and high-intensity commercial, light industrial, and also multifamily residential too. And the areas shown there on red are our mixed-use districts. The area there to the east of the subject property, that's a conservation area. You can see the zoning map here, and on the left is the current zoning map. On the right is the proposed. It's a little bit distorted on there, but as proposed, the area in yellow is going to brown, which is multifamily residential 2. The area to the north and east of the subject property that's in the medium blue color is called the Tuscany Village DRI. It's a mixed-use project of about 505 acres. And most of that is not developed at this time, but it has, it's predominantly, a lot of it is a conservation area east of the subject property and to the north. And to the, where we see the property line between the subject property and the red property to the north, there's like an 80-foot drainage canal that runs through there that is the property boundary with 40 feet of the drainage canal on each side. To give a comparison, if the rezoning was not approved and the property owner developed this later, just like maybe with the property to the north or across the street, some of the things that we could have by just coming in for a site development plan would be a CAR-V, a car, RV, or boat dealership. You could also get a heavy equipment rental yard, home improvement store, LP gas dealership with bulk storage, or animal boarding center. With the multifamily residential 2, this is our, of two multifamily districts, it's our more intense, and it allows a density of up to 12 units per acre for uplands and up to 3 units per acre for preserved wetlands. In the multifamily, we don't differentiate. You get it, your choice of, you can develop the units as condos, apartments, or townhouses. The maximum number of units, if all of the land was determined uplands, which I don't think it will be, but it potentially, it would be 136 units maximum. The applicant was required to hold a neighborhood information meeting, which was done on October 12th in the room behind us at 5:30 p.m., and notified all the neighboring properties within 300 feet by U.S. mail on October 3rd. No one from the public attended the meeting. Over the last week, I've had two neighbors call that live up by Hidden Lakes, which is their Hidden Lakes Drive is about a mile and a half to the north of here. And I think one person was inside Hidden Lakes and one was in an adjacent neighborhood. They had questions about the project, said they would probably come down to the meeting tonight, but they didn't object. They didn't formally object to the rezoning. They just said they would come to the meeting tonight, likely, and get more information. Some of the things on this project we wanted to point out was the north side of Kings Point Commercial Subdivision already has an entrance road coming in. And this property has a shared entrance with that already in place. And that was put in place when the four laning was done of Old Kings Road and the realignment. One nice thing that this does, it allows future residents there to have access to all the commercial services around this lake. And so far, I think the subdivision went in 2008. Nothing's there. However, the development has heated up quite a bit. Racetrack Petroleum has 1.5 lots right at the northeast corner of State Route 100 and Old Kings Road under purchase contract, and they have already submitted a site plan, and it looks like that project will more than likely move forward, and it may start construction even maybe as quick as several months from now. And in a multifamily project, what happens when you get multifamily in, it generates a need for more commercial services. And I think we have some older services there at this interchange that serve motorists along I-95, plus we have the Winn-Dixie Center there. So having more commercial services there that are brand new, I think, would be a asset for the community. The planning staff's required in our detailed analysis to review 5 criteria that each project must meet before we can make a recommendation of approval. And I've listed these 5 criteria in summary form. Must not be in conflict with the public interest, must be consistent with the Land Development Code and comprehensive plan. It must not impose a significant liability or hardship on the city, must not create an unreasonable hazard or nuisance, and it must comply with all applicable government standards. And our findings on this criteria in summary form are that the proposed zoning district would be compatible with the neighboring properties, which are almost all commercial, as well as various policies and elements and goals of the comprehensive plan. The proposed zoning district is also consistent with the mixed-use Flume designation, which allows about 5 zoning districts, I pointed out. Old Kings Road, adjacent to the site, has already been 4-laned. It's been paid through the various property owners along Old Kings Road, paid for the realignment, and there's a special taxing district that's been set up for that. So they already have concurrency vesting for the subject property. Old Kings Road there is at level of service A, and water and sewer are available right at the property line or just adjacent to it. Planning staff recommends that the planning board find the rezoning in compliance with the comprehensive plan and recommend approval to City Council to rezone the 11.33 plus or minus acres from high-intensity commercial to multifamily residential 2 for the Kings Point multifamily application number 3421. And Charlie Faulkner is the applicant's representative, and he's here for any comments, questions, and
just before Charlie, could you trace for us the process that's going to happen here? If this board approves or makes a recommendation to approve this, this will go to the City Council?
Correct.
And it will appear on the City Council agenda twice?
Yes. Right now it's scheduled for, it's tentatively scheduled, and the advertising has been ordered for November 7th at 6 o'clock p.m. in this same room, and then also November 21st at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Faulkner?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Charlie Faulkner. I don't really have a presentation nor a lot to add. We don't have any site plan. We do not have this property under contract. So there isn't a lot of detail for me to talk about, except that the owners of this property have probably owned it for in the vicinity of 25 years. It has been actively marketed for probably close to a dozen years. So far, the property owners own the majority of the land on both sides of Old Kings Road from, figuratively speaking, from State Road 100 all the way north to the Lehigh Canal. All of that is the subject of numerous historic agreements. These parcels were created by one of those agreements. And as Mr. Hoover mentioned, this property is within the special taxing district for the improvement of Old Kings Road. It is probably, to me, the most relevant thing is it's your comp plan land use designation is mixed use. All of the zoning throughout the corridor is intense commercial. So this would be true to form of a real mixed use opportunity. And personally, I've been doing this for 40 years, and I think this is... It might be hard to argue that there is a better place anywhere in the community for multifamily. It doesn't have any neighbors to really disrupt. You've got recreation and shopping, restaurants, a grocery store, even an elementary school and a hospital almost within walking distance, certainly a bike ride. And we put a lot of thought into this. I've been a proponent of doing this rezoning for probably 6 to 8 years, and now we think the market is here. From my dealings and travels in the community, if there is a deficit of any land use in our community, I think it is multifamily. So we would hope that you would consider this, look at this favorably, and I'd like to reserve the right to answer any questions or give rebuttal if it's warranted. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Faulkner. Okay, I'm going to bring the item back to the board for any questions or concerns board members may have for the applicant or for the staff. Mr. Freeman?
I would just like to point out that we did an application for development, and I wrote a letter basically saying that we do have capacity at Indian Trails Middle School and at Matanzas High School, and but at Old Kings, we are over capacity, so we would have to go to Buddy Taylor, not Buddy Taylor, but Belterra Elementary School for elementary.
Okay. Thank you. Sybil?
No questions at this time.
No?
Not this one.
Not for me either. How about guys? Chris?
I'm good. No questions.
Bud?
No questions.
Okay. At this point, we're going to open the meeting to and let it become a public meeting. Any member of the public who wishes to speak for or against this project could please approach the podium, give us your name and address for the record, and I'd ask you to please confine your comments to 3 minutes. But anybody who'd like to speak, by all means, come to the podium.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Chairman. My name is Charles Ebert. I'm Palm Coast. I'm living in Hidden Lakes. I know that we were without the 300 feet requirement of whose residence and so forth there is, but the council just had, the city council just had a thing about something down in US 1 with the same kind of problem that it was zoned commercial and now they want to change the thing. And what we're concerned about is mostly the fact that Old King and 100 has already been several times re-emphasized for the turning area there. Between having the Old King Elementary there and also having the all the other stuff there, and if this is going to be more commercial and you're going to add some more traffic into our areas, there is no traffic control north of 100 until you get to Town Center. And as Mr. Freeman knows, that he was a temporary with our transportation director, we already have problems getting the buses through that intersection as it is, and I don't think it's a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. My
My name's Linda Kendrick, and I live on 107 Hidden Lakes Drive. And I am wondering if anyone can tell us whether this is planned to be condos or whether...
Sorry.
I'm wondering if anyone can tell us if the plan is for these buildings to be condos or apartments.
Okay.
If there's an answer to that question.
We'll see if we can get you an answer.
Okay.
I'm Carl. Carl Murphy. I live at 136 Arena Lake Drive. I have several questions. One, I'd like to know if this will be any kind of subsidized apartments. I'd like to know also, with adding 136 apartments, that's probably 500 people that will be using Old Kings Road. Does that mean that Old Kings Road will now be improved from town center to the parkway? And if so, who will pay for that? I'd also like to know exactly what you're going to do with traffic patterns. And since that's such a great place to build apartments, why aren't apartments being built at town center? Since this was all laid out as some beautiful mixed-use thing, why not put the people here and then they can go to Belterre Elementary instead of taking people from our neighborhood and busing them across the city to accommodate something that was never at all zoned to begin with? I'd like to know those answers to those questions. What it appears to me is that property has sat vacant for all these years. Walmart never built their super center there. You got a gas station that's going to go in at the corner, and you don't have anything else. So now you're trying to peddle this stuff as apartment complex, anything to sell the property. I'd like to see city council members or the developer live in these apartments for a while and see just what they bring to our community. We're not equipped with the infrastructure to have these people. We don't want these people. We bought in the swamp to stay in the swamp. And we would ask simply that this be the commercial area that it was supposed to be, so that people will go home at night and the roads will be clear and they will not bring their crime or whatever it is that comes with people living on top of each other. Because if you're building one apartment for 12 acres, that's one every 4,000 square feet. My house has 3,700 square feet under roof. So where are you going to park? Where are you going to put the road? Where's all this other stuff going? It doesn't make sense. Thank you very much.
Any other speakers?
Good evening. My name is Tony Flores. I live at 10 Orberry Drive, Hidden Lakes. I moved to this community over 2 years ago to escape heavy traffic, congestion, and for the good life. I came from Atlanta, Georgia. And that was a community that every time they want to build something, they went to the city council and snap, and it was built. I want you guys to think, who's going to pay for the infrastructure, for the new extended sewer lines, the extra streets, traffic lights? Right now, Old Kings Road has 400 kids moving from over 100 across to the other side. Early in the morning, there's no lights on the other side of Old Kings Road, and it's only two lanes. And the area you're talking about is four lanes, but it goes into three lanes. So think about this. You should have high-end retail stores here that's going to create jobs for the community. That's what we've been wanting, so we don't have to go to Daytona or Jacksonville or St. Augustine. So just think about it. It's also going to bring more kids to the schools. Are we prepared to make more schools? Are our taxes going to go up? So think about it. It's going to be extra traffic. Thank you.
How you doing? My name is Rich Bachelman, and I live at 13 Albury Drive. And my concern and question is that you would think even before considering rezoning something that you would want to know what this conceptual drawing is, at least of the project, how it would look. I know we all keep our homes very nice, but I think that you're looking at something and trying to make a decision on something before you know what it is. The other question I have, too, is this project going to have any tax credits or anything that might affect the rest of us taxpayers here in Palm Coast? So that's the only two concerns I have so far, because there's just very limited information. Thank you.
Ladies, gentlemen, my name is Alan Ackley, 11 Arrowhead Drive. My concern is also similar to some of the others, which is traffic. The intersection at Old Kings and Town Center Road is already a very poor intersection. Trucks cannot make that swing now. They're constantly rebuilding the shoulder. It wasn't until recently that there was a turn arrow to turn left on 100, and during the school year, you could not make it. There's an arrow now, about six cars can get through. We put that much more traffic in there. It's going to be a difficult situation at best, and especially, as I already said, at Old Kings and Town Center. It's a heavily, heavily used intersection, and even a truck with a cart behind it, you sometimes have to back up to let them. They just repaired the shoulder there, but it'll be gone again shortly. And if you go look there now, the curbs are gone, and it's quite a mess. So that's my concern. Thank you.
Seeing no one else approaching the podium, I'm going to close the public hearing part of the meeting and go back to the applicant and the staff. There were a couple of questions that were left out and may not be timely to get the answers to these questions as yet, but let's make sure we understand it. The last one I heard was, were there any tax credits involved with this rezoning?
Let me, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I can try to answer probably, hopefully, okay, a lot of the questions. The applicant may have to supplement on some, and maybe Mr. Hoover as well, but I'll take a shot. I tried to write down as many as I could. First, I want to talk about the traffic and transportation. As Mr. Hoover stated, that the level of service on Old Kings Road right now is an A, which from a report card standpoint, A means excellent, F means failing. We grade the roads by A, B, C, D, E, F, and the capacity of the roadway is in excellent condition. The rezoning from high-intensity commercial, some of the uses, not all of the uses, he just gave an example of some of the uses that can go in high-intensity commercial, definitely have a potential to outweigh more trips, you know, retail center that could go there in high-intensity commercial can really outweigh with more trips what they can do now for the proposal of going to residential, which would be less trips. And then one of the questions that was related to transportation was who was going to pay for the infrastructure. The property owners all along from State Road 100 north to Palm Coast Parkway is a special taxing district. It's a transportation taxing district, and which is unique to Palm Coast. It's the only one that we have, and all of the property owners are paying for the road. You know, a lot of times we will collect impact fees like, for example, Palm Coast Parkway. We may get state funding for that, or other parts of Old Kings Road, maybe state funding for that. But some of it, it goes through our impact fees that we collect from the builders when they develop through the roads. In this case, from Old Kings Road, it's actually the property owners who are paying for all of Old Kings Road through that taxing district. Someone had mentioned, and also the other infrastructure, the water, the sewer lines, cable, all that is pay-as-you-go. That's going to be the developer who is actually going to pay for all that. One gentleman asked, you know, should we have a conceptual, you know, to see what it's going to look like. The rezoning is, you know, at the 35,000-foot level. We do our analysis based on our code and our comprehensive plan. The site plan, whatever is there, if this is approved for multifamily, the number of units would actually come back to the planning board. That's where you would receive all that detailed information, making sure it architecturally meets our high standards that we have in the city, our landscape standards. And in addition, you know, if it's 1 year from now, if it's 2 years from now before they would submit a site plan, we're going to require them to do another full traffic analysis to make sure that not only the capacity is there for the roadway, but also, you know, looking out at some of those turn lanes. If we find through those detailed studies of what may be proposed as a multifamily, yes, we do look at some of those other intersections that are around that site to see if they're getting an impact. And if they're warranted, you know, a signal or an additional signal, we would actually go to the Florida Department of Transportation because they have the regulatory authority on State Road 100. So some of that circulation going on State Road 100, that's really an FDOT road, and some of those connections that go on to, you know, from, you know, Old Kings to those intersections on State Road 100 goes through the Florida Department of Transportation. Taxes, any special taxes we get? Well, we have things called impact fees. And what impact fees are is when the development comes, you know, the city and most municipalities have what we call impact fees. So we have it on our fee schedule where, you know, per unit, you know, if it's a multifamily, they're going to have to pay, I think it's $3,200 per unit just for transportation. They'll have to pay fire impact fees. They'll have to pay park impact fees because it's pay as you go. You know, we've done a lot of analysis and collecting that money, and that's how we pay for the services and pay for the parks in the city and improvements to roadway. But in this case, it's going to be developers paying for the improvements to the roadway network. Subsidized housing, don't know. You know, what we're at right now is at the zoning level. They can do multifamily, they can do townhouses, and they can do apartments. You know, Mr. Faulkner may want to comment on that more, but, you know, if they say they're doing apartments now, we haven't seen a site plan, but in this zoning district, they can do all three of those. I don't know if I...
We would know that when the site plan came back to us.
Yes, yes. We would know that at that point. And I think I got most of it.
Tyner, I think.
Okay.
Okay, so comments or concerns or questions from the board, folks? Mr. Freeman?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm not sure if the applicant needed to have any rebuttal or make any additional comments. I know we reserved for that purpose. Just want to make sure.
Mr. Faulkner, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Reichman. Mr. Chairman, I would yield to your pleasure. I'll either make some comments now or I'll wait.
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay. Ray, thank you for, you know, your first shot at addressing some of these issues. As far as traffic, which seemed to be sort of a common denominator, as has already been stated, the zoning along this entire corridor, not just this parcel, but probably, I'm going to say, for the northern 80 acres or so, up to the Lehigh Canal, is it's actually vested already for traffic concurrency. It's vested up to a 0.2 FAR under a C3 zoning. And again, as has already been stated, and I will yield to Mr. Hoover, I think if you use the ITE, traffic generation coefficients, for these types of land uses, you'll see probably a significant reduction in the anticipated traffic generation. So in other words, we're going to make it better, not worse. As far as the infrastructure...
So you're comparing that to other possible uses?
Currently it's zoned and available for any use allowed.
Yes, that's my point.
Yes, sir.
So what you just said about probably lowering traffic uses, you're talking about lowering those traffic uses, traffic usage based upon other usages for the property.
Well, in anticipation of it being zoned multifamily, it would result in less traffic.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Infrastructure, both the road there, all of the various improvements associated with the road, including drainage, a 16-inch reuse line, a 16-inch water main, and a 16-inch force main, were all part of the Old Kings Road four-laning improvements. Those lines are in the ground. They are operational. And the landowner has been participating in that from the very first day. They have paid substantial amounts of money I think that this leg of the construction was somewhere between $8 and $10 million. Literally, my clients by themselves paid, I think, 5% interest on all of that money for the first 3 years, all by themselves. They are right now, along with all the other landowners, they pay an annual assessment into the special taxing district that Mr. Tyner referenced earlier. So there are no taxpayers' dollars going into this, and all of the infrastructure needed for this is and has been in place for a considerable amount of time. I wish that I was coming in front of you with a site plan, because a picture is worth 1,000 words. But the reality is no one is really going to spend money. A site plan involves a lot of money, a lot of engineering, a lot of survey, and architects, engineers, everything you can imagine. And it really doesn't make sense to produce that type of detail when you know you may not be able to build the project. So zoning is the first step. And that's by way of trying to explain why I don't have more information. What we're asking to happen tonight is this a good location for multifamily? I think that is the dominating question. And earlier I gave my rational thoughts as to why I think the answer is yes, it is. It's a great location for it. And I'd like to also remind everybody that this is just the beginning. Before any construction takes place at all, there's several more permits, there's several more hearings that need to take place. So we're a long way from seeing anything really get built there. This is the first step. Is it going to be condos or apartments? We have four different entities that are all multifamily developers from various parts of the country interested in this site. They all produce a different product. They all have a different business plan and marketing plan. I could tell you what I think, but I'd rather not, because I don't want to mislead anybody. The real answer is, if this is rezoned to multifamily, anything allowed in your land development code in that zoning classification could get built there. Anytime And it's not just here in our community. Any time I've ever done projects throughout the state of Florida, apartments or multifamily oftentimes have a stigma that goes with them. And all I can say is point out to everybody, if you take a step back and from the emotion, maybe most of us at some point in our life have lived in an apartment building for a while. I did. Because when you first start out as a young professional, you don't have a lot of money saved up, and you may not be bringing home that big of a salary. Apartments are a necessary and, in my opinion, a vital ingredient for a vibrant, healthy community. A lot of people refer to it as workforce housing. Well, that means construction guys. It also means school teachers and firemen and nurses. Not everybody at a point in their life that needs an apartment building is a detriment to our community at large. And I'd like to, for everybody to just really keep that in mind. One gentleman, his comment was, why can't they do this in town center? Well, my client doesn't own any land in town center. And other than that, I think town center one day will be a great place for multifamily. It hasn't happened in about 15 years, but it is a good location for multifamily. In order, good land planning, and several of the old gurus of land planning have said it in different ways, but the finest, the best land planning is when you integrate land uses to the finest degree possible. What that means is we actually need multifamily opportunities in various locations throughout our city, not just isolated in one or two spots. One of the reasons, if you talk to Helga Van Eckert, and she's the economic development director for Flagler County, but she considers Palm Coast part of her job too. One of the first things that you'll hear her talk about is, what are your problems? What could we do different to help you create a better tax base, to create a better job market? What could we do? The first thing she's going to tell you is, we need apartments. We need multifamily development. This is an essential ingredient, again, for us to have a balanced, vibrant community. And right now, that element is largely missing. As far as tax subsidies, that means different things to different people, I think. But whatever goes here is not going to result in the project being subsidized by local taxpayers' money. That's not going to happen. As far as Old Kings Road and the town center intersection, about a mile and a half or so to the north here, in the town center, and Clint, you can jump in here and correct me if I say this wrong. I don't want to misrepresent it. In the original development order, at some point during a certain traffic count, it will trip the threshold, and there will be a vastly improved intersection at that location when the time comes. And I'm about out of juice. I think that's all I've got to say. But I'd be happy to answer any questions anybody may have.
Okay.
And I'd like to make a short comment on the traffic. So I saw the 136 dwelling units, and apartments generate less trips per unit, according to the Institute of Traffic Engineers, which is like the Bible for it that everybody uses. And a single-family home generates about 10. An apartment generates in that 7.5 to 8 units per. And then a condo is less than that. So I did a worst-case scenario, 136 apartments times the per-unit rate. It came up to 914 weekday trips and 84 in the p.m. peak hour. Now, they're vested at a reasonable number. So talking to the city traffic engineer, he likes you to use shopping center, which is ITE use number 820. So I put that in, and it came out with 3,740 trips. So what they're proposing over a worst-case scenario for commercial, and they put a shopping center in here versus the multifamily, this would have generating 75% less traffic, and that's if it was apartments, not condos. If it was townhouses and they only could fit in 50 instead of that, because it, in my time as a land use planner, I found that it's pretty rare, or maybe 10% of the time, that you actually get to use the maximum density, because you have environmental issues, you've got financial issues that the bank only feels comfortable, you have marketing things, certain types of units will only work better. And I did look at Beach Village Apartments, which is probably the closest one that's similar to this, because when we worked on the new 7-Eleven down there, I drove around the site, and which I do when we have a site plan for a review. I saw the Beach Village Apartments there. I pulled that up. The density there is about 7.5 units per acre. And so they have a little over 100 units, even though they could do more than that. The type of units they put in, it's most important to have a quality layout and type of thing. It's not the most important thing, is to have the maximum number of units. Thank you.
Okay. Questions or concerns from the board? Mr. Freeman?
No? Nothing.
Sybil?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'd just like to point out that as a former apartment dweller in my early days, too, there's a lot of multifamily going on in single family now all over Palm Coast and rental units. And it does cause some serious issues in neighborhoods. A couple of 25-year-old kids rent a house together, and that's multifamily.
And
that's right in the middle of neighborhoods where there are rentals and absentee owners. And that goes on a lot in Palm Coast. And there should be well-thought-out multifamily projects, and there just aren't hardly any. And what happens, you know, we need workers here. We need people to work in low-income jobs. They got to live somewhere. And right now they're piling into single-family homes all over Palm Coast. And I think that should be considered when thinking about these
things. Something like this would be an alternative.
That's with a small one at 136.
Yeah.
You know, you got to consider that in planning. Because that's, single family is supposed to be single family.
Yep.
I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. You go up and down Florida Park Drive, and you see, 5 and 6 cars spilling out onto the sidewalk, because that's multifamily now, and that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get off my soapbox.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay.
No, I have to agree with that. I have the same situation, actually, on our street. And I wonder sometimes is there a party or is there, something happening there? But because all of a sudden there are 4 or 5 cars that belong to that house, you know? And it becomes problematic. And as Mr.
Yep.
Scully says, these are primarily young people, working people.
Yeah.
But it's...
So what we're saying is multifamily housing like we're talking about is an alternative to that.
I don't even see it as an alternative. I see it as the... as what it should be.
Yeah.
You know, there should be in those kinds of of housing.
Right. What?
I have quite a few questions because I'm a little bit confused. Number one, this board is being asked to rezone property, but the developer doesn't have any idea what he's going to put on there.
I don't think there is a developer.
Well, it's a property owner.
The owner is not going to be the developer.
No.
He's going to sell the property, I assume. Charlie, am I right?
Charlie Faulkner, for the record. Yes, sir, you are correct.
Yeah.
My clients are not developers.
So that's why you can't get decisions, because there's no developer.
Yeah, but it just...
And a developer won't buy the property unless it's zoned properly.
Mr. Chairman, if I could interject also, and I think this is because there's been a lot of questions about this, but the very nature of our process that's set up by the Land Development Code, not just for the city of Palm Coast, but really almost every local government in the state of Florida, be it a city or a county, divides these different processes. And you heard Mr. Tyner say that we're at 35,000 feet. Now, that can be 32,000 feet. That can be 28,000 feet. But the point is that where we are right now is we're just looking for the potential uses. We're not actually, we can't make a decision today, either for or against this application for rezoning, not knowing or knowing what the final use will be. We have to take into consideration all the potential uses. And as you've heard over and over again, this is a certain level of intensity of multifamily. Now, when you talk about whether it's a condo or an apartment or a townhome, those are just different types of ownership of multifamily uses. And so each one of those different types of ownership really goes back to the fundamental question of intensity. And that, I would submit to you, is really where you get to from a legal standpoint. And that is, what is the impact on the community from the intensities of development legally that currently has vested on the property, which is heavy commercial, versus what is being requested and proposed, which is multifamily? And you've heard a discussion from your experts tonight, the applicant as well as your staff, about the differences in the vested intensities of the existing uses that are allowed with a building permit out there right now, existing vested development orders, versus what is being proposed. And I think it's fair to summarize that the record reflects that the intensities and the impact on the surrounding community, as far as traffic and schools and other things, is less with the proposed use, with the exception of potentially schools. Let me throw that in there. I think that's questionable. But the other uses, especially transportation, are significantly less than the existing vested uses. So, again, I just want to summarize. Certainly, everyone always wants to know at this stage, what are the buildings going to look like? What are the setbacks? How high are they going to be? How far apart are they? What color are they going to be? We're just not there yet. And we can't penalize the applicant for not being there yet because our code doesn't require that at this stage. We're looking just generically at what kind of uses.
And basically the question tonight is this a good place, a good location for multifamily? And our analysis of our comp plan, especially the whole area is mixed use. And I think Mr. Faulkner pointed out that there is no multifamily within this general area, and we believe it is a good location for multifamily. And again, later, if site plans come in at that level, it would come back. That's the process. That's the step where you're getting closer to the ground, that you have all those details of what it's going to look like in complying with our land development code, architectural renderings. That's the next step, not at this stage.
Thing is, I'm listening to the citizens. Right now, they have no idea what's going to be built there by rezoning it. And their concern can't be answered. So that's really a concern of mine. I was a traffic engineer for 36 and a half years. I don't agree with some of the statements of the amount of traffic that will be generated, but we're not there to build multifamily. We just want to rezone the property.
Right.
And then it's going to come back to us. Then hopefully the citizens will gang up and come back in here.
Why? I mean, why? Why should all the citizens universally oppose multifamily anywhere in this area? I mean, that seems to be your universal stance every time multifamily comes in front of this board. I'd like to know why.
Did you not listen to the citizens' concerns?
I did. I was asking you.
Their concerns are what they don't know the unknown, And neither do we as a planning board.
But we are not required, nor is the owner required, to make those decisions in advance of a rezoning. You talk about the citizens, and I understand how the citizens have concerns, but the questions that the citizens ask today should be asked when we're here talking about a site plan, not when we're talking about rezoning, because frankly, we don't know the answers to those questions, and we can represent the citizens better with the kinds of questions they asked if we had a site plan in front of us. That'll happen in a year or two. But the other side of that coin is the owner of the property is entitled to be able to dispose of his property. He'd like to sell this piece of property, and he can't because of the zoning it has. It's not attractive. If he were to be able to get it rezoned to multifamily, he would be able to have one of four developers come in, buy the property, develop a site plan, come back here to this board and say, here's our site plan, and the citizens will have an opportunity to say, hey, that's terrible, or that's fine. But they can't do it now because we don't have it.
Mr. Chairman, if I could add in, again, I want to reiterate a point I was trying to make before. We do know what's going to go out there if this planning board and ultimately the city council approves this application for rezoning. What's going to go in is multifamily.
Yes.
What we don't know is the type of ownership of the project or of the individual units. That's really all you don't know. And what I've heard is that there is concern in the public about the impact or the consequence of that unknown. But again, that is not a legal consideration at this point in this stage in the proceedings. The issue is does this property owner who has rights under our land development code, legal rights under our land development code as a property owner, does this property owner meet the test, the criteria and the factors that are set forth in our land development code? I believe it's section 2.0505, which was part of the staff's presentation. And there's five criteria.
I'd like to point out too, one of the citizens mentioned the development down on Route 1, and I remember that. I'm sure we all remember that night. But that was a site plan. We were looking at a site plan, and we were looking at buildings plans and sight lines and setbacks and those kinds of things. We're not looking at that stuff now.
I think one of the hardest things to understand about this process, it took me a long time, is that we're not making the rules at this stage. We're implementing the rules. The city council went and adopted the land development code, set the rules of the game. All we're doing here this evening is applying those rules to the facts that we are hearing tonight. And so the discretion that we have is not as great as sometimes we would like. That's why we sit in a quasi-judicial capacity, not in a legislative capacity. We simply have to take what we hear, determine which are relevant, which facts are relevant, which are not relevant, and then apply the criteria to those relevant facts. And tonight, again, as Mr. Tyner said, what you're trying to decide is it appropriate under the criteria to change the ultimate use of this from heavy commercial to multifamily.
Any additional comments from the board? Questions, concerns? Chris?
I would like to highlight that, and this is more anecdotal than anything else, Bill Hoover brought it up with respect to Beach Village. That's a low-income tax credit property.
Pardon me?
They don't have Beach Village. It's owned by Concord. They're typically a low-income tax credit property. There's no problems there.
Yeah.
You can't paint a picture for one specific asset class across the board. I think this is a ideal site. One of the problems in Jacksonville with all the multifamilies, they're all built right next to each other. They all cannibalize each other. You're not going to have that problem because there's limited competition here.
And you don't want it all built in the same spot.
Well, not only that, I mean, that corner's been dead for 5-6 years now. I mean, it was developed in 08.
Yeah.
Crash hit. I think that corner clip was supposed to be a bank site at one point, and they pulled out. I think that was Colonial Bank at the time. So having something like this will be a really good catalyst for redevelopment of the whole area.
Yep. Sir?
Well, I think most of us agree that multifamily is terribly underserved in the city of Palm Coast and has been for a long time. And I think this property is situated perfectly. I mean, it's surrounded by commercial. It's not next to somebody's existing house like the one on US 1 was. That's why most of those people are upset. You have to serve everyone in the community. We can't all build 3,700 square foot houses. So, not everybody is that lucky. So I think this is a perfect spot.
Any additional comments or concerns? And how about a motion?
I'll move to approve item number
3431404. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Mr. Schaefer, will you call the roll?
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas.
Yes.
Mr. Golnick.
Yes.
Mr. Scully.
Yes.
Mr. Davis.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Let's move on to item 3. Is a comprehensive plan amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I've got to get to the Charter Review Committee. I think the rest of them are going to be continued. Sorry for having to leave early.
3, 4, 5, 6 continued?
We've got to do them individually, I think, right?
Yeah, that's fine. We can do it individually.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I appreciate all your
comprehensive plan amendment for 196.
You're welcome.
Plus a minor acre parcel from Frogner County designation of mixed-use high-intensity and industrial to mixed-use along with the policy to limit development on subject parcel to 1,500 dwelling units and 200,000 square feet of non-something.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, this item, and we are, and the applicant, we are recommending that this item be continued to the November 15, 2017 PLDRB meeting at this location, starting at 5:30.
Okay, we need a motion?
Yes.
Good. Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Item 4, a zoning map amendment for industrial Flagler County designation to general commercial comp 2 for a 2 plus or minus acre parcel located at the southeast corner of Colbert Lane and Roberts Road. I have a motion to...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Same thing, Mr. Chairman. We are asking that we request this item to be continued to the November 15, 2017 Planning and Land Development Regulation Board here at City Offices, City Hall, starting at 5:30 p.m. or soon thereafter.
Are we a motion?
I move that it...
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, a zoning amendment from industrial Flagler County designation to light industrial IND1 for a plus or minus acre parcel located at 465 and 551 Roberts Road.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. City staff is requesting that this item also be continued to our November 15th, 2017 Planning and Land Development Regulations Board meeting here at City Hall starting at 5:30 or soon after.
Have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Excellent. Last one. A zoning map amendment of 184 plus or minus acres located at 1400 north of SR of State Road 100 on the east side of Colbert Lane from Flagler County designation of mixed-use high-intensity plan unit development to City of Palm Coast designation of master plan development. Mr. Tyner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. City staff is asking that this item also be continued to November 15, 2017 at our Planning and Land Development Regulation Board here at City Hall starting at 5:30 or soon after.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Excellent. Motion to adjourn?
So
move to adjourn.
All in favor?
Hi.
Thank you, folks.